right, David Hochberg has stepped into the studio. And David, we've got a lot to talk about, but there are a few things going on in the housing world in general that I just want to kind of bounce off you here. All right,
gotta start bouncing.
Let's go.
I'm ready.
Let's bounce. Okay, so we heard the news about sales of previously occupied homes fell for a fourth straight month, even more than they thought. You've got soaring prices and the limited amount of properties available, so that might be a contributor. But they're seeing that, you know, it's after the market. Is it cooling a bit? Is that what we should take away from this? What would you say?
Is it cooling a bit? Well, listen.
It was crazy.
You couldn't sustain the record pace and the blistering pace that we were on. And anybody in our industry that you spoke with would tell you it's unsustainable. It was going to slow down eventually. So what's happening? Yeah, we're slowing down, but we still have the inventory challenge that we've had for the past year. There's just not enough homes. You still have, instead of maybe 12 people lining up to buy that home, Anna, it's 6 to 8. Okay, jeez. So it's still there. And the challenge that we're finding is that the people that are selling the house now are waiting for the people that bought their home to sell their home. So that's where the backup is. Okay, but there's still... Okay, 6 to 8 people instead of 10 to 12. Is that a blistering market? It might not be nuclear hot like it was, but it's still...
I wouldn't call that cool.
I wouldn't call it cool at all. So that's where you got to be careful with these nationalized stories like this, because real estate's local. Location, 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 right? I'm sorry to be boring, but that's true. And, you know, when other markets are taking off 15 to 20%, they're like, well, here in Chicago, it's not that. I'm like, yeah, but it's going up a normal pace, 5, 6%. It's good. So it's still very, very warm, and it might not be nuclear hot, but it's blazing right now.
The other thing I'm seeing here, David, this is interesting to me because we hear about the blazing hot suburbs. A lot of sort of people just telling us, our listeners tell us, hey, sold my house in 12 hours, sold it in a day, multiple offers. My next door neighbor is getting her door knocked down. Like, hey, will you sell? Will you sell? I mean, that's happening for sure. You're seeing huge increases in prices, volume, that kind of thing. Here's something out of Crain's Today, real estate section, residential. New real estate data should put to rest a persistent rumor that people have forsaken the city in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. They're looking at data. First 5 months of 2021, home sales grew by more in the city than in the larger metro area, according to Crain's analysis of data. And they're just kind of saying that, you know, during sort of the social unrest, when that swept through downtown neighborhoods, home sales sort of stalled or maybe weren't as hot as some of the suburban neighborhoods. But now they're saying as 2020 woes have eased and we're roaring in 2021, huge increase, a spike in March, April, and May in the city.
Well, again, location, location, location. We talked about it back a couple of months ago when the city was cheap and was going through the civil unrest it was going through. Same thing happened in 08, okay? From 08 to 2012, and you had see-through buildings downtown. See-through buildings meaning buildings that were not fully constructed and the windows weren't up, so you could see right through them. Technical name in the real estate industry, see-through buildings. The real estate market there was off a little bit. It was a great buying opportunity for investors and savvy buyers. Same thing happened here, right? We said it's the city of Chicago. Okay, it might be, I think we were talking about in January and February when it was 40 below out and freezing and the river was frozen. We're like, hey, in 6 months, there's going to be people walking around in shorts. You're going to have the Cubs playing. You're going to have the White Sox playing. You're going to have the beachfront. You're going to have the lake open. Everything's going to start opening up. Hopefully we get shots in arms. Back then we were talking. Now things are loosening up. The plays are talking about opening. And downtown's back. And the good thing about downtown Chicago is what? It's downtown Chicago. Okay, and you've got everything that you want in downtown Chicago close by. And yeah, the real estate market took a dip. The renters got a great sweet deal. They signed year contracts with 4 or 5 or 6 months additional. The landlords are smart. They didn't go down in their rent. They just gave a couple of months free, 3, 4, 5 months free. So they kept the rent the same. So when it did turn around, what do? They kept the rent the same and stopped offering the extra months free. So the real estate market's back. It's a healthy market, supply and demand. Downtown became attractive again for buyers. So guess what? The buyers came back and started buying downtown.
We're starting to get questions for David Hochberg. Let's open up the phone lines. 312-981-7200 is the number for David Hochberg about housing, mortgages. We have a couple agenda items, too, we'll get to. But first, let's go to Susan. You're on WGN. You got a question, Susan?
Hi, David. Hi, Anna. Yes, I do. I was a realtor for 34 years a while ago. But anyway, my daughter has a house that sold right away in McHenry, and it's an FHA deal.
Okay.
And I just wanted to know if you're having any appraisal issues.
On the FHA, on the person that's buying the home from her, getting an FHA loan?
Yes.
Okay, so here's your challenge with the FHA loan, okay? If you get an FHA appraisal, it sticks with that property for 6 months. You're done. That's what it is. So,
right. As
you know, with the realtor, being a one-time realtor back in the day, your place is worth what the places around her, your daughter, have recently sold for. So if she listed it for two and she sold it for $215, in this example, just pick numbers, and nothing right. around her has caught up to that $215 yet, then that buyer is going to have to make up that appraisal gap. That's the new fancy word in the real estate industry right now, is appraisal gap. So when the buyers are buying these properties, they have to sign an agreement that they know there might be an appraisal gap, meaning that that home that they bought for $215, if it appraises at two, they have to make up that $15,000. Mm-hmm. Okay? And if they don't have that $15,000, then they're in some deep trouble, because the financing is based upon the lesser of the appraised value or the purchase price. So in this case, if your daughter's home appraises for 200 G's and she sells it for 215 in this example, the buyer has to come in with the 15 G's to get it down to 200 grand what it appraised for, and then 3.5% down, because FHA is 3.5%, right? Typically 3.5% minimum down payment. And they'd have to bring in that $7,500 to get it down to where they need it to be. So your daughter's got to be careful that the buyers have the resources to bring in more money, more than the 3.5%, to get it to where they need to be in the event that the appraisal comes in late.
Okay, I didn't know, was the market changing a little bit? I mean, there have been houses in her neighborhood that have sold for more than their asking price and more than her house.
As long as they're comparable sales, Susan, then there won't be a problem. Then her home should appraise out. There hasn't been comparable sales of like homes within a reasonable distance of your daughter's home, there might be a challenge. I'm just giving you a big macro answer to your micro question.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was thinking. So
okay, well, there you go.
Hope it helps, Susan.
Sure. Yeah, hope we helped you out, Susan.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks so much.
We got to pause here, David, but there are quite a few questions I want to ask you, and there are coming on the text line, 312-981-7200. We'll take more of your calls as well. Ponder this for a second while we pause. So good to see a hot market for sellers, but here's the question for David. If there are so many people fleeing Illinois because of high property taxes and such, who is buying all of these homes?
Yeah, it's a great question.
It's an excellent question. I've asked it myself. David Hochberg will answer it, coming up here on WGN. The number is 312-981-7200. David Hochberg is here answering your housing questions, mortgage questions, all of the above. And David, the one we asked just before we went to the break, please explain mm-hmm. if people are fleeing Illinois because of taxes, et cetera, and we hear those stories too. Who is buying the homes?
Yeah, who's buying the homes? The downtown migration to the suburban market has been unbelievably, exponentially the force and the gale winds that have been causing the increase in the suburban market, coupled with the fact of low interest rates, coupled with the fact of there hasn't been any major type of building going on in the past 12 to 15 years, because what happened in 07 and 08 that wiped a lot of builders out, and couple the fact that a lot of people are now working from home. And you put all that together and put it in the blender and hit go. And then here, the biggest thing, okay, the biggest ingredient is the younger demographic that used to bounce around from neighborhood to neighborhood and have their experience. I'm going to live in Bucktown, then I'm going to go to Boys Town, then I'm going to go to Wicker Park, then I'm going to go to the Gold Coast. All that has stopped. That whole younger demographic, I see more 23 and 25-year-olds buying homes. I've been doing this 21 and a half years. It'll be 22 years in August. I've never seen this many 23 to 26-year-olds getting into the market. It's just been a complete seismic shift. Couple that with the fact that now you got the 27 and the 30-year-olds who are getting married and having kids getting into the market. So it's been a huge push of a lot of different variables. And on top of that is, with the borrowing power that's been out there and the increase in pricing in homes, consumers and homeowners have been borrowing, doing cash out refinances to fix up their homes, to make it more comfortable so they could work from home. Because a lot of that working from home is here to stay. And that's what's causing this major push in the housing prices. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know it doesn't make any sense. A lot of people are fleeing. I got a ton of people dumping their house in Illinois, going to Nashville, dumping their house in Illinois, going to Phoenix, dumping their house, going to Florida. I got a bunch of dumping their house, going to Arizona, you know, Arizona.
But then aren't like New Yorkers and San Francisco people coming here?
It's cheap real estate compared to what they're buying out there. And then that's the other thing. You've got investors coming into this city mm-hmm. from San Francisco where you're going to spend $1.3 million on a 700 square foot one bedroom. And they could come here and buy three or four condos for that same amount and have renters in there. Mm-hmm. And the investors are coming in. Same thing happened in Romeoville. I'll use Romeoville as an example. 07 through 2011, Romeoville got crushed. A huge investment banker came in, bought up a ton of homes in Romeoville for 70, 80 G's. Instantly stabilized the market. Put renters in there and slowly started to bleed those homes off. Now Romeoville's back. That's exactly what's happening now. Money's coming into the city because it's cheap money. They don't have anywhere else to put it. And compared to what they're buying in New York and compared to what they're buying in on the West Coast and compared to what they're buying down in Florida, they're buying cheap properties here and they're renting it out. And that's what's stabilizing the market also in downtown
Chicago. Let's get to some more questions here for David. I plan on selling my house by owner. Is there something I can do to get proof that they are pre-qualified? Thank you. Because it isn't always, you want to get that if you can.
Yeah, you got to work with a reputable lender, okay? And I'm not touting our services. Find a lender that you like to make sure that the buyers are pre-qualified when they're coming in. Because, listen, you could write a pre-qualification letter on the back of a napkin and say you're pre-qualified, right? We collect all the data, run the credit, make sure your assets are there, your income's there, and that you're qualified to buy the place. For sale by owner in this market, I just talked to a sales rep in the sales department. I'm not going to say who because I don't want to embarrass him, but, you know, they said, what do you think about putting a house in market? I'm like, listen, if you want to do it, that's how I sold my first condo. But I will tell you that a realtor will help you with these type of challenges, mm-hmm. making sure that they're pre-qualified, making sure that you're safe bringing people into the home. The realtor is the go-between to make sure that it becomes not an emotional sale, right? So if somebody comes in and says, well, my house is worth $4,000 and they offer you $325,000, you don't lose your gasket and blow a gasket and get upset at that person. So there is a lot of value to using a realtor. I used Amy Keitch, sold my home in 4 days. Okay. And you just got to weigh the options. And
do you have a home, Dave? Did you find a new one?
Oh, yeah. No, I built a home. I lived in my in-law's basement for 6 months because of COVID pushed everything back. But it was August. I didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Right. I just wanted to get the hell out.
Right.
Right. It was last August. And my wife's like, well, what do
no
you
one
think?
Knew.
I don't want to bring anybody through. I'm like, sweetheart, we're bringing people through. We're dumping this house. Okay.
Right.
So that's what we did.
I like how your wife jumped on board immediately and said, you're right, David.
No, she did. No.
I would love to know a little more about that conversation.
No, that didn't go too well.
Yeah. do we have a few seconds here, Peter? We pause in here. We break in here. We have a couple of questions about condos.
Yeah.
Are they selling as much as houses? Quick answer to that,
sure,
David.
Sure. Listen, it's supply and demand, right? At the right price, anything's going to move, okay? And again, at the right price, if you sell your condo and you list it for $200,000 and it doesn't move within the first 2 weeks, it's too much money, right? Then you got to drop it to 190, 180. A good realtor will tell you where to market your product so it doesn't sit there, because the longer it sits, the less value it is, okay? So, and then the longer it sits, the more carrying costs you have. You got another month worth of insurance, you got another month worth of assessments, another month worth of taxes, another mortgage payment. So, again, knowing the market that you're selling into and what's happening around you, that's what realtors do for a living.
All right. David Hochberg, mortgage advice, housing advice, and marital advice.
Yes.
You offer that too, don't you? Yeah. You're very good at all of the above. Thank you, David.
I don't know about that. I give it. I don't know how good it is.
Good talking with you.
Thanks for having me.